Right, good evening everyone, and welcome to this Community and Wellbeing Committee. And can I say a special welcome to our Chief Inspector, Giles Parsons. It's lovely to see you, Giles, and I'm glad you could make our meeting. And also our new, let me say this right, Regulatory Manager, Gabrielle Whitehouse. So thank you for coming and being with us. Can you please put your phone on silent, as we've got a heavy agenda tonight, so please, if you could all switch your phones off, I would appreciate it. And, right, we'll start with the first time on the agenda, which is item one, the minutes of 16th of January. Does anybody have any queries or any comments from those minutes?
No.
So I can sign them as a true record?
Yeah.
Okay, have you got them? Thank you. Right. Any apologies?
Councillor Aspin and Councillor Jay Nixon, who's been substituted by Councillor Pete Edgela.
Thank you very much. Councillor Sessions, item agenda number four. It was nil. Yeah. Members' items, right, you've all got nothing there apart from, we'll go on to 5A, which is the Healthcare and Overdue Scrutiny Committee. You've all read the item on the minutes and of the agenda. I've also got, where are they? Thank you. I've taken the liberty of copying page 7 and 8. Of the Health and Care Committee from the county, which is about GP appointments and what have you. And I thought it'd be good that you had a copy so you know what's being said instead of. So if you'd like to pass those around, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed. And so, as I say, it's noted. And also, I want you to know that at the meeting on Monday, the items really we discussed was about the Staffordshire All Age Carers strategy for 2024-29. But that will be come to the committee next time. But I just want you to be aware of that new strategy that's been put together. And you'll have to go to Cabinet before it's put out. So, do you want to take a minute just to have a look at that document I've sent you around?
Any on the back row want a copy?
No. I think Jill, Jill's got a copy, haven't you?
Okay.
Okay. Right. I won't take any questions from it, but I just want you to take it away and you've got a copy of what was said. Because it's just a case of being noted.
Don't want any comments about the GP.
No. I just want you to be aware of what was said.
Is that something to talk to you about after the meeting then?
You can talk to me afterwards if you want to, yeah. You all had a glance at it?
Yeah.
Thought you might find it of interest. Okay, so now we'll move on to item number 7, which is the 7A, which is the Community and Wellbeing Partnership presentation. And I think we've got Giles and Anna that's doing that. Am I correct?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. I know you're a very busy person, Giles, so thank you very much for giving your time. And
Anna, I know, is very busy as well.
Yeah, I know, you both are.
But yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So would you like to start then?
Thank you. Okay, so I'll start. What we're here this evening to talk about is the work of the Community Wellbeing Partnership over the last 12 months. But I think I'll just start with what the King's Wellbeing Partnership actually is. So it is the CSP for Stafford. So that is Community Safety Partnership. And I am just going to read from my notes here to explain to you legally what that is. So the aim of the CSP is to bring together local partners to formulate and deliver strategies to tackle crime and disorder in their communities. It's made up of several responsible authorities, and that includes police, fire and rescue, local authorities, health and probation. Community safety partnerships provide localised strategies tailored to the needs of the communities. And it's on the basis that no one agency can solve these issues by themselves. They have to work in partnership to be able to tackle the causes and address the issues that are seen. So obviously you'll see that ours is actually called a community wellbeing partnership. And about 5 years ago, we made the decision that actually health and wellbeing and community safety, crime and disorder are inextricably linked. One follows the other. So if you've got poor health, wellbeing, you're likely to have higher levels of crime, disorder, and vice versa as well. So we thought if we get a wider group of partners around the table to actually address all these issues in a multi-agency way, it will be positive. So what we did was we pulled the, what was at the time, Stafford and Surrounds Health and Wellbeing Partnership together with the CSP and brought it into this Community Wellbeing Partnership to tackle all of the issues as a whole, basically. Okay, next slide, please, Vic.
Okay, these are our priorities on the left, and also on the right you'll see the Commissioner's priorities, which we also have a duty to try and put activity in place to address. The priorities are identified through our yearly strategic assessment. A lot of the priorities that are on there, in total honesty, would be no different to on other policing areas. So there isn't really much that's that unique about Stafford's priorities when compared to maybe Cannock or the other areas across the county. But they're our current focus, and they're what we focus on through the strategy. We have used precision policing data, which looked at issues over a five-year period to try and decide on our priorities as well. And one of the things that we've been working on as part of the partnership this year as well is expanding our data to make sure we're looking at all partner data and expanding that as far as possible, so it's not just police data that we're concentrating on, because obviously we as the police have only got a part of the picture, and the partnership as a whole has got far more information available to them. As well as having far more capabilities, they also have far more information and intelligence in relation to the issues and problems that we potentially face that we want to try and deal with and tackle. So that's how we decide on the priorities. We came to a decision ultimately that we can't focus on everything. And what the data showed us was that we had two particular areas within the borough that were a particular high priority. And these were Stafford Town Centre and what we describe as Stafford South. Now we've put the map up there because obviously you'll appreciate Stafford Town Centre is more than just what you'd see as the high street. You know, it's not just Greengate Street, it is more than just the town centre. There are some residential areas included within it. It does also include, for example, of note, St George's Mental Health Hospital. That is included within the geography that's classed as part of the town centre. And some of these things can affect things because St George's, with the nature of the business that it does create quite a high level of demand for the police, and it does create quite a high level of incidents. And that's not unusual for a mental health hospital. We do work very closely with them to manage and minimise that. But it's just being aware in the context of the area. Aside from that, in Stafford Town Centre, the reason why we selected it was because of consistently high levels of incidents, the volume of incidents, particularly around things such as antisocial behaviour, domestic abuse, and violence against women and girls. They were all identified as being, from a volume perspective, things that were regularly taking place within Stafford Town Centre, or of a higher level than other areas within the borough, I should say, which is why we wanted to focus on Stafford Town Centre. Within Stafford South, there were some slightly different issues. Stafford South, you would recognise it as the sort of Highfields, Ricker Scott, Western Downs area. It's not just that, but the map itself, if you look closer, gives you a little bit more information on that. But they are the main residential areas that would pick out for you where I mean. That's what we mean when we talk about Stafford South. The issues there were slightly different, probably more complicated in terms of association with domestic abuse, association with some issues of deprivation in some areas, issues of vulnerability that were probably more complicated to one understand, but secondly to try and tackle. Certainly they also included acquisitive crime, antisocial behaviour, and issues of violence. But definitely when I say about that violence, yes, some of it was happening. It wasn't just domestic violence, but a lot of it is domestic violence, if you see what I mean.
Okay, so what we did then as the Community Wellbeing Partnership is we set up two subgroups to focus specifically on those areas and do much more intensive work and action planning around the issues that Giles has just explained. So the focus on the town centre, as we've just said, is in particular antisocial behaviour, violence, but there's also a lot of links to the street homelessness as well. But we didn't want to just go out and start to come up with strategies to address what we'd seen in the data. We held an engagement event to discuss issues with local groups, business representatives as well, to test out what they thought the main issues were. And what came back, a lot was already being dealt with anyway as part of the widespread regeneration programme that we've got going at the moment. But nobody disagreed with the issues we'd raised. So we felt confident that those were the things that we should be tackling going forwards. As part of the duty of the local authority and the Community Wellbeing Partnership is around early intervention and prevention of crime, as well as tackling what's happening. So we've done a lot of work on that early intervention. So we've worked really closely with the park rangers in Victoria Park, so they know now how to report in and to ensure that things are brought to our attention before they escalate, so we can nip it in the bud. We work with families as well. So for children who've been involved in antisocial behaviour, we'll write to the parents, get them in for a meeting, talk to them about what's happening to try and stop the behaviour before it becomes embedded. We work really closely with the college to deliver early interventions as things arrive, And I'd absolutely want to sing the praises of Street Scene colleagues. They do the most amazing job working with the homeless team here, the housing options team, to identify those new rough sleepers to the street, but also to identify when maybe one of the rough sleepers isn't there. So they'd normally see them regularly. And if they're not there, well, where have they gone? What the issues are? Are there health concerns? So that we have greater understanding, intelligence of that population there as well.
Okay, so Operation Salt Mine is something that came about in part because of Home Office funding. We had some additional funding to tackle what were classed as antisocial behaviour hotspots. And Stafford Town Centre was identified as one of them. And what we've been able to do because of Operation Salt Mine is significantly increase the police presence and visibility within Stafford Town Centre. So hopefully you will have noticed that over the last 12 months that you're seeing police patrolling the town in a far more visible way, and that the community will see that presence. And obviously our aim through that has been to tackle some of the issues within the town centre, reducing crime and antisocial behaviour, trying to help people feel safe when they come into the town centre. Because one of the really important things for me is about the look and the feel of the place. Because I know the data, people often look at the data and they'll say to me, you know, has crime gone up, has antisocial behaviour gone down? Well, one of the interesting things earlier on last year, you'll remember we had some adverse publicity about antisocial behaviour in Stafford Town Centre associated with the walking street. We will all remember that. Now, at that time, antisocial behaviour, according to the data in Stafford Town Centre, was significantly down. But it's pointless. It would be pointless me going to those people and saying, or going to anybody and saying, well, antisocial behaviour has come down by a huge percentage point. If the last time you came into Stafford Town Centre, or when you do come into Stafford Town Centre, you're regularly subjected to antisocial behaviour,
yeah.
or you're regularly seeing things which cause you to be concerned. So that's what I mean when I talk about the look and the feel of the place, and you know the feedback from the businesses and the community are really important as part of that. So we've worked really hard around our police visibility and action that we've taken within the town centre proactively. We've done a lot of work around enforcement of the public space protection order. That was obviously linked to some of the issues you'll be aware of around some of those concerns which were raised by our communities. And we do, and I can't understate the partnership working that we do, particularly with the Borough Council, particularly with the CCTV on the town centre. I mean, an example of that, and that work recently led, some of you may be aware, we discovered a cannabis factory in the town centre quite recently with about 600 cannabis plants in it, in what used to be the Sports Direct premises. Obviously not associated with Sports Direct anymore. It used to be Woolworths as well, and it's obviously not associated with them. But as a result of work done, working with CCTV, working with the council, and through our increased operational in the premises in the town, we've become suspicious of that. You know, we've been able to identify that and take positive action to recover it, dismantle it, and address it. So, you know, that's kind of an example of the work that we are doing with the council and operating with the CCTV.
Okay, I'm not going to read through this slide, you can see it yourself. I think I just want to draw attention to the point I made about Turning Point. So they're a new partner who've been working with us over the last year. They're a specialist provider, and we brought them in to help us reduce rough sleeping and get some of the long-term entrenched rough sleepers off the street and into sustainable accommodation. What we've managed to do is boost the outreach that they're doing to engage with rough sleepers. And what they've been doing at the same time is co-producing a support and accommodation service with the rough sleepers. So what this means is that the rough sleepers are actually shaping the support and the accommodation that we're providing for them, recognising that we can go in as professionals and say, well, you should have this X, Y, and Z. But actually, the people who are on the streets are best placed to be able to say what they need and what would work for them. So there's been a lot of work done working with them to understand actually what they need and what will meet their needs. This has culminated in the last few weeks of a house opening up for that was able to accommodate 6 individuals. Some of these have been on the street for numerous years and have caused significant issues in the town, and I think Giles' team know them all by name and have caused a lot of demand. But what we're seeing at the moment, we're moving them in gradually into the property, and we're seeing some really, really positive engagement with other services, with health, with services across the board, and we're really optimistic this is going to be a long-term sustainable change going forwards, which will not only have a huge impact on the lives of the people that we're working with, but also on the wider town centre as well.
And certainly I can't understate the potential that Turning Point initiative has got. There's some really excellent work gone on there, particularly by the Borough Council housing team, but by other partners as well. So I think that is a really exciting initiative for us. This slide really just picks up on what I was saying about what I mean by the look and feel of the place. One of the things that was raised with us when we were doing that engagement, particularly with the businesses and some of the people visiting the town, was around the graffiti mm-hmm. being quite a significant issue. And you've got some built before and after shots here. Obviously, the problem with the graffiti is it creates that impression that Stafford, if we leave it there, that Stafford is a place where crime and antisocial behaviour is acceptable. Mm. It creates that impression where people feel emboldened if they're involved in crime and antisocial behaviour. And it also creates concern amongst communities and people visiting the town, as well as obviously impacting potentially on the businesses. A number of the businesses that were operating in the immediate vicinity of some of where we got the graffiti problems were raising this with us as a significant issue. So what we've done, and Anna's already touched on the work of Street Scene, working with the council, working with partners, Helen and Vic have been involved as well from a community safety team perspective. We've put together a process where we're looking to identify the graffiti, get it cleaned up, engage with the businesses to try and make sure that we are alerted to future graffiti that happens. We as the police are making sure that any graffiti that's reported to us, we are investigating. We are coordinating investigations with CCTV to identify the people responsible. That has led to positive action being taken against a number of individuals that have been involved in causing graffiti. Obviously now we've started to clean the place up. You can see the wood from the trees, so it's far easier to identify when new graffiti is done. And you know, one of the commitments that we've got is that I'm not saying to you that we'll never again be graffiti in Stafford, but we're keen as a partnership to try and make sure that we tackle this. You know, we bring offenders to justice and deal with people that are responsible for causing it. And through it, we aim to improve the look and feel of coming into Stafford, improve the environment for the businesses and the people that want to come in and legitimately enjoy the town centre. In terms of results, I know that you're probably struggling with your magnifying glass. I certainly am. I think my eyes are starting to go dodgy. But you know, one of the really important things for me, you know, crime figures, I know from experience over the years, things do go up and things do go down. Sometimes we change our recording, so you're not comparing eggs with eggs and apples with apples, and what's recorded is one thing, one year is different than the next. So I don't totally, live and die by crime figures. One of the things that has massively improved in Stafford Town Centre is police proactivity. So for example, we've had 102% increase in use of stop and search powers in the last 12 months. So that's nearly an extra 200 people stopped and searched that we've suspected to be involved in either drugs or criminal activity within our town centre. That has led to an increase, in recording of drug offences, and they're 75% up in the town centre. And that's because we are catching people involved in drug use and drug supply because of our increased proactivity. Obviously, that's a type of crime where if we don't identify and catch people, it often doesn't get recorded, if you see what I mean. It's as a result of the proactivity that you've actually got an increase there. A similar thing has happened with possession of weapons. So we've seen a 27% increase in possession of weapons offences, but that is because we are stop searching people and we are recovering them and dealing with the individuals responsible. We have seen a reduction in less serious violence. That's down by 17%. A reduction in most serious violence, which is your upper end of the scale, which is down by 31%. Burglary in the town centre is down by 96%.
Wow.
I mean, I would say there are some areas that have gone up. You know, it's not, I'm not trying to claim here that we've eradicated crime in the town centre. You know, we have seen some increases, for example, in vehicle crime. You know, it's not a totally perfect world. We have been doing a lot of work as well to try and tackle and take positive action around shoplifting. But one of the key things for me is that look and feel of the place. And I appreciate you will all be individuals that use the town centre and would be able to reflect on, you know, have you seen a change in the experience that you have when you visit the town? Because we have started to get some positive feedback from the businesses, some positive feedback from the engagement that we are regularly doing, which does suggest there is starting to be a change to that look and feel. And that to me is as important as the data. Mm-hmm. You know, because like I said earlier, antisocial behaviour is reduced by 100 incidents, but I could have claimed that it reduced this time last year, but no one would believe me because of the look and feel and because of the recent press release with concerns about antisocial behaviour, which was obviously highlighted through what went on earlier in the year. Stafford South, in all honesty, is a slightly slower approach. We have deliberately focused on Stafford Town Centre first, because it is our town centre and everybody, you know, regardless of where they live, the likelihood is everybody does come into and visit the town centre, and that has a larger impact on the population of the borough as a whole. But also with the complexity of the issues in Stafford Town in Stafford South, we've needed a more holistic approach. We've spent far more time collating partners' data and looking at in more detail at the issues that we face in terms of the demographic of the area, the levels of vulnerability, and you know those more long-term causation factors that have led to that area actually standing out. So we haven't actually done that much yet in terms of proactive activity on that area, but we are in a position where we are going to be starting to move that on as this year develops. So the data that you've got there around Stafford South, crime overall is down by 5%, but like I say, we haven't, what we've been doing today has mainly been gathering information intelligence, gathering partner data, trying to work out what we think are the appropriate actions in terms of plan and approach to implement through this year. So you have got an overall reduction of crime by 5%, but I don't think we can yet claim credit for that. Sorry, did you want to ask a question?
Do you mind?
Can we leave questions till Giles has finished his presentation? Councillor Nixon, please. Giles finished and then you can come in with your questions.
Okay, no problem. And then again, antisocial behaviour, again, we can't claim credit really for that. There have been some changes to how the police record antisocial behaviour, which have, I think, led to reductions, some of those reductions, which is where I talk about the data being not entirely, not reliable, but because we're not comparing pairs with pairs, things become different. So, for example, there are some things last year that we would have called antisocial behaviour that this year we would class as violence, because of changing in those recording statistics, and that's where the data can start to become, you're not comparing like for like. Mm-hmm.
We will get a copy of these slides, won't we? Can we make sure that we do get a copy, Giles? Is that okay?
Yep,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so to do this work, we have a limited budget, and this slide sets out the funding that we get from the Commissioner's Office. And this is to address the issues that are identified in the strategic assessment. And the funding is for early intervention and prevention. And the Commissioner's Office, we submit the proposals to the Commissioner's Office and they sign it off. I'm not going to go into the detail, you can see it on the slide here. I think just a couple need explaining. The sanctuary scheme is for victims of domestic abuse, and it's physical measures to make their house safer. So it could be cameras, things like that, different locks, things like that, to be able to strengthen the security. We also have a top slice taken off the funding that we get for domestic homicide reviews. So this is a responsibility of the Community Safety Partnership to look into the circumstances surrounding a domestic homicide review to see if there are lessons to be learned going forwards. So that is coordinated centrally in partnership with the Community Safety Partnership. Okay, so what we've achieved, I think again that sets out in a bit more detail some of the funding we've spent and what we've done with the funding. So right, YouthNet, we've engaged with young people, the Right Stuff, I'm sure you've all heard of the Right Stuff Boxing, had significant results in the borough as well, and Resolve, delivering a lot of sessions to schools and reaching a significant number of pupils and teachers. Okay, so what we've talked about is what we've been doing over the last year, and it is very much just a brief summary of some of the work streams that we've had ongoing. We're currently awaiting for the most recent strategic assessment, which should be with us in the next few days, which will set out our priorities and inform the spend plans for next financial year. Just picking up on what Giles has said though, we're not going to forget Stafford South. I'm sure it'll be back there in the strategic assessment, but we've got work already started that we'll be continuing as well. We're also anticipating in the very near future a joint strategic health needs assessment, setting out the specific health needs and issues in the borough, which we'll also consider in setting our priorities going forward. And again, we're going to look at all partners' data, so fire service data, housing options data, children's services.
We'll look at all of this to understand what our priorities are going to be and where best to focus our resource going forwards. We're developing a new community wellbeing partnership strategy, and we also have a number of new duties that have been set centrally to implement as well over the next year. The Integrated Care Board are developing a health inequality strategy, and the work that we do as a partnership will absolutely have to be aligned to this and reflect those health inequalities that we're looking to tackle in the borough as well. And I suppose just going forwards, we're happy to bring a further update back in another year to show you what we've been achieving over the next year and where we're up to with all of this work as well. But in the meantime, any questions we'd be happy to take.
Thank you both very much. I think that's a very in-depth survey of what's been happening over the last few months and what have you. And can I say thank you both for the work that you do, you know, looking after us and keeping us safe. I'll start it off by questioning just what, first of all, I mean, over the years and that, we used to have neighbourhood watch, Giles, you know, and we had teams throughout Stafford, Stone area doing neighbourhood watch, and we had neighbourhood coordinators, so that's the public working with the police, as you know.
Yes.
I don't have to tell you about that, you know all about it.
Yes.
And then we used to have meetings with the coordinators in the borough, you know, in the Craddock room, and they'd come in and we'd see where there was a certain focus of what problems there were in certain areas, and then you'd work on that, you know. So is that not something that you might be looking at, or is that something you've put to bed and it'll not...
It's not done in the same way as it was before.
Mm.
So, I mean, I do recall those meetings.
Yeah.
But we have still got some remnants of Neighbourhood Watch. Most of it now is delivered through Smart Alert. So Smart Alert is an app, a website that you can sign up to.
Yeah.
Where you will be, I think, probably mostly familiar with it.
Yeah.
It will send you information about crime and antisocial behaviour issues based on the postcode you submit around where you live. So the PCSOs will regularly put out smart alerts to inform the public in probably what is a more dynamic way, and certainly in a far speedier way around issues that are relevant specifically to where they live. And that has largely taken over from and replaced Neighbourhood Watch.
Thank you for that, but my concern is the people that don't use computers, and I'm talking about, you know, probably the people some in the 70s and 80s that are really concerned about crime and what have you, but they don't pick up on this because they don't use, you know, so, and that's where you're focusing on, such as people coming together and
there are still some remnants of Neighbourhood Watch that do still take place, and some local meetings that do still occur.
Yeah.
And certainly the PCSOs do attend some of those meetings.
Yeah.
But obviously times have moved on a little bit.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to open it up to the floor now. Councillor Nixon, do you want to come in first? Because you was...
Yes. Thank you. What I did before the meeting weaves in and out of what you were saying, Giles, in that I've looked through the safeguarding document, and I found 16 amendments that I would put into that. And as an overview, as an observation, I've noticed that each of the partners don't use the same terms and definitions of each other. So for example, a teacher going through the safeguarding process uses the same words as the police or the social services department, but it doesn't mean the same thing to each person, and the processes that happen as a result of those words aren't the same, which could do with being tweaked. Also, as a looking ahead, more people work online now, so when you consider that this document focuses on Stafford or Staffordshire, but because of online working, the person who's in Stafford or Staffordshire could suddenly be anywhere, and we need a network of a body that works nationally. For example, Staffordshire Police need to be connected to other, if there's a safeguarding issue, that all of the police in nationally needs to be aware of what's going on because people now work online, so you don't know exactly where these people are, although they could be registered wherever. Does that make sense? And then because then I've considered, I know that Staffordshire is in a safe place, but there's a lot of county councils that have trouble financially. Do we need to look ahead to for some sort of contingency plan, in that if there was a financial problem, would we suddenly create new pathways in light of safeguarding, and how that's changed because of the pandemic, and then listening to other voices like the people. Because I've worked within this and I've spoken within safeguarding with the teacher's head on, but speaking to the other partners, I've noticed those holes within that document, within listening to the voices of the other professional teams involved.
Have you got a question, Councillor Nixon?
Hang on, I'm coming to it. If we listen to the voices of other stakeholders like Rising Brook Baptist Church, Salvation Army, House of Bread Churches, I bet they would each have a different voice on that as well. So my question is, in light of what I've just said, can this be tweaked a bit?
Can I come in here? Because I believe that's our Stafford Borough Council safeguarding policy that you're referring to.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we can have a conversation about what the issues are that you found with it, and we'll take it. It's Victoria Cooper who is leading on the safeguarding side of things.
So Victoria sent this to me, so I've gone through the document and before the meeting, and it weaves in and out of what Giles was talking about.
Absolutely, we can discuss that.
So apologies if that was long-winded, but it was the shortest way.
At least you got your question
off
the end.
Yeah.
There was a question, yeah.
But we do have a multi-agency safeguarding hub.
Yeah.
Which works in partnership across Staffordshire, and we do share information and intelligence, and there are methods by which police forces share information and intelligence nationally.
Unfortunately, I've been in an experience where it hasn't quite worked.
And I'm not saying it's always been 100% perfect, but we are attuned to people moving, obviously, across boundaries, across counties, across areas.
And especially in holiday times.
And we do share that information.
Yeah. But in holiday times, that's an area of weakness too, because of things like Christmas that gets in the way of.
Okay, so you've had your question answered, Councillor Nixon, yeah?
Okay.
Councillor Hobbs.
Oh, yes, I was interested in the early intervention where you said you sent letters to families and you wanted to, where there was an ASB.
Yes.
And and you said you were trying to prevent bad behaviour. I just wondered how you dealt with it.
Can I ask Vic to answer that one, please? Because she's the one who does this.
Sorry, there's not much for you tonight. Yes, so we have, as you know, we do have some enforcement powers, which we share with the police as well. The police have the same ones. But for those under the age of 16 currently, we struggle to use some of those powers, which are just warnings, really.
Mm.
And what we have to do is work with youth offending. But what we find is it would be much more appropriate to put some sort of warning in with the parents rather than waiting for behaviour to escalate to come to a point where it is, you know, has to be dealt with on a statutory level with youth offending, and it's, you know, it is then more of a criminal enforcement. So it's just that it's quite new at Stafford to us, but we're inviting parents in. We work with Giles' team in harm reduction and the problem solving lead, and we just invite the parents in and have a chat. We also signpost to other services, so we work very closely with children's services over at the county. They've got lots of different interventions. They've got online courses, parenting courses. I know they've rebranded them, so it doesn't sound quite as scary. You know, I'm a bad parent, you send me on parenting courses. So we've worked very closely with them to make sure that our signposting is appropriate to the individual. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. It will depend on the child or the younger person, the behaviour they've committed, and the wider circumstances of the family. And we do try and take a whole family approach in that and include everybody. So we'll also look at other siblings through the county teams as well.
So would you sort of be referring them to Resolve or... right stuff, the boxing or
practical
things?
Yeah, so if it's in schools, the schools that the right stuff work with, you know, if the right stuff are in the school the young person attends, then absolutely they can access the gym there. Otherwise, they have access to the gym outside of school. Mm. And also with Youthnet on the town, they work in a lot of schools and they offer lots of the Prince's Trust programmes they do in schools as well. Mm. So they're a really good link because they work with the wider family outside of school and the work that they do. They're doing the intelligence gathering, if you like, and an engagement with the young people on the town, and then they're also directing them in school into other activities. But mm. Youthnet will very much try and signpost the young people on the town back to the kind of their own areas and clubs and
things
support
that are going
services
on.
That are in their own area, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Okay.
Councillor Thorley, you wanted to...
Yes, you've mentioned about crimes, and I'd like to know what sort of crimes in the Stafford central area that come under the town centre in the residential areas are being committed, because we've got to find out what the causes of these offences are. It's no use just saying there's these crimes, and we have to find out what the cause of crime is, or you won't get to the eventual successful answer. I've noticed myself, if we go back over the last 12 months in the town centre, homeless sleeping has decreased. Mm. Because I know them more or less personally, they come up to me, they know who I am, being the town centre councillor. And I've got to say this, Stafford town centre is a very friendly place. It's not a dangerous place to stay out of. And I find that I take great offence when I hear people saying, oh, I wouldn't go downtown at certain times of night and all that, because it's not true. I think it's very important that we paint a positive picture of Stafford 24/7. And the town centre's got to be open 24/7. That's what I'm asking. You know, to work with everybody, the police, because I've seen a reduction going. We've got to talk the place up.
And I agree with
and
you.
And sell it to the public.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I agree with you entirely. And Stafford Town Centre is, you know, in my opinion, a safe place to visit. You know, it's a safe place to visit 24/7. And we do what we can, and we try and promote those positive messages around Stafford Town Centre. We do obviously have some crime and antisocial behaviour that takes place. You know, the full range of it is within the town centre breakdown of crime that is within the PowerPoint. I mean, there is a full range of offences, as you would expect.
Yeah.
You know,
everywhere.
As there are in many places, yes. And it's no different to many other towns that you would visit. You know, I don't think I could credibly, as an LBT commander for any town, stand in front of you and say that I didn't have any shoplifting,
no,
I didn't
no.
have any drugs, mm. I didn't have any violence. You know, if I did, I'd be a very naive individual and you'd all laugh at me. You know, so, but, you know, the point you make around the causes, you know, there are lots of causes, you know, and I mean, we've touched on it. One of those causes around the Turning Point Initiative, you know, and that is a really, you know, I can't understate how excited I am about the opportunity there, because, you know, and I'm not saying homelessness is the total cause, because it isn't, it's a small cause, but with lots of these incidents there are lots of causes. So domestic abuse is one of those causes, and that accounts for crime across all our residential and all our areas. And obviously people come into Stafford Town Centre on nights out and they have arguments, domestics occur, in the same way they do in residential areas when people are at home. And we do a lot of work with partners to try and tackle that from a preventative method with perpetrators, you know, but also trying to work with victims to try and improve safeguarding around them. So, you know, I agree with all your points, to be honest with you.
And thank you for that. I mean, picking up on your point, Councillor Thornley, you know, I came out of a meeting, I think I've been in St Mary's actually to a meeting, and I stood outside McDonald's one night, and I couldn't see a single person in sight. I was the only person sitting, and I thought, this is just, you know, wonderful, really, you know. And Councillor Ross, I think you're next,
First of all, I would like to say thank you both for your work. You talked about the proactive work you're taking with the college especially, but I was just wondering, are you still active in primary schools and high schools? Is that covered under the resolve bit, was it?
Again, Vic, do you want to say something about that?
Resolve, I'm just trying to think. So, yeah, Resolve are commissions to deliver substance misuse and mental health support and education. And they do that to both primary, secondary, which includes higher education, in the college as well. Other services, we also commissioned Staffordshire Women's Aid to deliver some healthy relationships to primary and secondary. And we've also, through the PSHE coordinators, which are funded sort of pan Staffordshire through the Commissioner's Office, Stafford Borough have funded, I forgot the name of it, it's like a world views publication that's suitable for all age ranges, including SEND children, which was really to help address hate crime issues and extremism, and find a way to support teaching staff in having those conversations. Stafford Borough and the partnership don't commission anything else directly in schools, but say we do. Some of our funding was top sliced a couple of years ago to pay for the PSHE coordinators who sit within SCIVIs, and they coordinate education on all of our priority areas into the schools and have a central resource.
Fantastic, thank you.
Yeah, does that answer your question? Yes.
I did have a second question, if that's all right.
Yeah, okay.
With the stop and search powers, I was just wondering, what's the actual percentage of like stop to finding a controlled substance or weapon? Because obviously, I know there is some issues with, obviously, if stop and search is used indiscriminately, then obviously it can change public perception of the police and actually worsen antisocial or criminal behaviour.
Yes, it's roughly 35%. I can't remember exactly.
That's actually quite a high percentage compared to a lot of areas.
We would class it as a positive outcome. So there are a range of positive outcomes. That doesn't mean on all occasions people have been arrested. On some occasions they can be dealt with by voluntary interviews. On some occasions officers can show discretion, you know, and that can be classed as a positive outcome. For example, if it's such a menial amount of cannabis that they find, that they decide to deal with that through discretion. But it's roughly 35%, and that is consistent with areas across Staffordshire, with other parts of the force.
Yeah, that's actually really good, because a lot of areas it's little as like 8% or something, and obviously that's when you start to get the negative.
Yes, and the point you make is right, that if the power's obviously applied inappropriately, it can have a negative impact on the community and their perceptions and concerns, and also crime and antisocial behaviour.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean, I know we've talked about Stafford a lot, Giles. You don't mind calling you Giles, do you?
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And not Chief Inspector. I won't call you anything else, I promise. But I'm conscious that we've got councillors from Stone and that. Do you incorporate anything in Stone or in?
Just because we're talking about Stafford Town Centre and Stafford South here doesn't mean we've stopped doing work in all the other areas.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about.
We have definitely. I mean, obviously tonight we've focused on those two areas because that's been the particular focus of the partnership, but that doesn't mean we're ignoring the other areas. Those areas that we've talked about have probably got a little bit of an enhanced focus, but we are still focused working with partners to tackle the issues in the other areas.
Well, as I say, I'm just conscious that we've got councillors from
yes.
those areas in the room, and I don't want them to think they're being ignored.
Definitely not.
Councillor Leeson.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, can I say that Giles does have meetings with councillors from Stone on a regular basis, so we're not forgotten. We used to have a crime prevention panel. It was Philip Thurlow Craig was the big leader.
I know, I sat
that
on it
Chris
for many
Barron.
Years.
Yeah. What's happened to that? You know, they used to give crime prevention advice and so on in the market hall and various places.
We certainly, the PCSO's one of their focuses is around crime prevention, and they will go out and do crime prevention initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've done crime prevention initiatives in Stafford Town Centre. You know, they do it in many areas across
yeah,
the LPT,
okay.
subject to need. We also have early intervention, prevention, problem solve officers who have probably taken on that crime prevention mantle from a police perspective and still look at specific issues from a crime prevention perspective. And, you know, prevention is at the heart, is still at the heart of our business. It's possibly delivered in a slightly different way than it was, but I can assure you it's still key to us
mm.
and central to our
yeah.
approach.
Yeah. And I think coming back to that, Councillor, at the end of the day, you know, the PCSOs go out now, don't they, and do out in the general. I mean, they did one on Wildwood last Saturday, and it was, you know, people coming up and asking questions. It was, and they got loads of things on the table, you know, to give out to help.
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry,
yeah.
carry on.
A couple of things, other things. Shoplifting. At what stage are shoplifters prosecuted? Do they have cautions first and then
there's probably a myth. People probably think that shoplifting of a certain value we don't deal with. That is not true. There is no you have to steal, for example, £50 worth before we'll do anything. You know, we will deal with any shoplifting offences. You know, in considering the action we take, we do take into account the views of the victim and the stores that are involved, the evidence that we've got. Where the perpetrators are involved, we will look at what we call out-of-court disposals.
Mm-hmm.
So for first-time offences, we can consider things like community resolutions. We still do conditional cautions. You know, for young people, we will refer them to our youth offending service, and they will do prevention work with them. And they have a sort of caution process for young people as well. So there is definitely an out-of-court disposal, for want of a better phrase, part to play in it.
Yeah.
But it's as much about it considers obviously the individual, their offending history, but also the gravity of the offence itself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the final one is, sorry, I can't remember the initials for this, but are there any offences against gay and lesbian people, bearing in mind that apparently they're going to have a pride event in Stafford
yes.
Later this year.
August.
Homophobic,
isn't it?
Homophobic, that's it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have a small number of homophobic offences. We are obviously aware of the pride event later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
We are engaged with the organisers over that. The number of offences reported to us is extremely low. That is the same across the whole of Staffordshire. I mean, I'm actually, aside from being the LPT commander for Stafford, I'm the force hate crime lead.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we're trying to do is work with communities to improve their confidence reporting hate crime to us, because we're conscious it is an underreported crime type.
Mm.
And we want to improve the confidence in victims in coming forward and reporting it, so that we can tackle it and give them the support that they need.
And will there be extra support, extra policing in force during the Pride events?
Certainly we will have an appropriate level of visibility and engagement through the Pride event,
yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Hobbs.
Yeah, just two quick questions. You said that you do work with the perpetrators of domestic violence. What sort of thing, do they go on courses or...?
Yes, there are perpetrator programmes. Sometimes that can depend on whether or not they're willing to go on those perpetrator programmes, or other programmes are put in place as part of sentencing when they're found guilty through the courts. It's usually a combination of the two, but that's how it roughly works. It's either we have to get them on board and get them to agree, which some people do, or it's delivered as part of sentencing through the courts.
And the other thing was, I just wondered whether, you know, how we compare with other similar towns in terms of our crime rate.
I mean, I haven't got all the data for all the different towns across Staffordshire.
A general
feeling. I certainly think we're on a par. You know, we're not, you know, we like was said by the council, you know, Stafford, and, you know, I would extend this to the whole of Stafford Borough, you know, in my opinion, is a safe place to live. There aren't any no-go areas. You know, that doesn't mean we don't have crime and antisocial behaviour issues, but generally, you know, I think we're not in a bad place, and it is a safe place to live and work. But obviously we still have issues that we need to tackle, and we need to not be naive and bury our head in the sands about some of the challenges that we do face.
Thank you. Councillor Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. I would like an opportunity to say a massive well done. I have been out with street pastors and I've observed how street pastors and the police and Stafford Borough Council work together, and I think that works absolutely awesomely, and well done for that. It's brilliant.
Thank you for that. What's knife crime like in Stafford? Is it quite low?
Again, it's not, I don't think it's any worse than anywhere else. I don't think it's something where we've got a significant problem. I mean, we do obviously recover knives from people. We do have some people that do go out carrying knives. You know, I touched on in the statistics, we've had a 27% increase in possession of offensive weapons, but that's because of our increased proactivity. Because we are stop and searching more people, we are finding more things. And you obviously, you only know what you know. You know, if you stopped every single person and were able to search them all that came through Stafford Town Centre, then you you'd know the full picture, wouldn't you? We don't see on a very regular basis at all is offences where knives have been used to harm people. That is very rare.
Good.
I don't think we're in a terrible place.
Councillor Edgerton here.
Can I just ask Anesh about, out of all the crime which we've been talking about, etc., what is the most predominant crime in Stafford itself?
Well, domestic abuse. Probably accounts for roughly 20% of all crime. I mean, that's similar across all areas. Domestic abuse, sadly, is a problem everywhere, and is something, you know, that we are committed to tackling and dealing with. That's probably the one that resonates across the borough, across residential areas, and across, you know, our town centres and village areas. But that wouldn't be massively different at Carrick or at Lichfield or in Stoke.
That's sad, isn't it? That's really sad.
It is a little bit, yes.
Yeah. Did you want to come into Victoria?
Yeah, it was just to say that every year, I know we've touched on our strategic assessment. Unfortunately, it's behind this year because we had to go out to procurement for it. Normally, the County Council's insight team have done it previously. So we're expecting the draft copy, and once that's been finalised, we will be able to share that with everybody. And that just gives you an overview of the priorities in Stafford and the overall crime rates, and it breaks it down into the different areas. So as soon as that's available, which should be in the next few weeks, we'll be able to share that with you.
Oh, thank you. That'll be good. Thank you.
Interesting.
Councillor Barron, you want to?
Yeah, Giles, Councillor Archer has said there was public meeting, with the PCSOs on Wildwood.
Yes.
Being the local councillor, I didn't know anything about it. I was speaking to a community officer prior to this. I gave him my card and I said, will you let me know if you're going to do these? And I wasn't informed. I didn't know it was what was going on.
I only picked it up on the, I think it was Smart Alert, or it was something put out on an email.
from the police.
He did say that they may be doing this in the co-op. Was it the co-op or outside?
It was in the co-op.
Yeah.
And I picked up on it on an email, yeah. And I thought I'll just go and show and say hello. And
well,
yeah.
I can't remember the community officer's name.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah. Apologies if they've said they're going to make you aware and they haven't.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd like to have been there.
Yes,
obviously.
I don't
I've been to every other one.
Yes, I mean, I don't know the specifics of it. I mean, obviously, I'd encourage you to go on Smart Alert if you're not already, because you will.
Yes, I am. Whether I missed it, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think you
must
have missed it, Councillor Byrne, because that's where I picked it up from.
Yeah.
It's not that somebody rang me and said, oh,
yeah.
You know.
Because
I know Emma,
a few emails, you
Emma Fry's been on
yes.
holiday.
Yeah,
yeah.
I appreciate
that. Because they are very useful. Very useful,
yes.
Those.
And that's what I say, coming to the community and being able to put these things out. The number of people that came and spoke to them, well, I was there. I was in there half an hour or so, but it was very, very interesting. Is there anybody else that wants to? Councillor. Yeah.
I'll just chip in about domestic violence. There's many different forms of domestic violence. To me, it's somebody being receiving domestic abuse where they live. I mean, I've come across a form I'd never imagined until I was a counsellor, and that was domestic abuse in homes of multiple occupancy. That was the landlord that was to blame there. And then you get victims being thrown out, evicted, wrongly. And I had to come here and go next door, just down there where, what's his name, Chris is, just get it stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, the actual victim, he'd been set on fire.
That's terrible, terrible. Yeah, but these things happen, don't we? We never know around the corner what's going to happen and what we're going to face. I mean, I can sit here and say to you, I had to phone the police many years ago growing a cannabis factory in my son's flat. Right? Okay. Ring the police. And I had to get him out of Stafford for his own safety. You know, and these things happen, but you never know what's going to happen the following. You just never know. And it's like County Lines. County Lines has been, I hear about County Lines, and County Lines, to my knowledge, has been around about 30 years, to my knowledge. So it's not something new. It's as though we keep hearing about County Lines, but it's not new at all. Did you want to say something, Councillor?
No, I'm just listening intently.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so we never know from one day to next what's round the corner, and all we can do as councillors and the police and everybody in this room is do our best. Look after our community and work hard to make sure they're kept safe. You know, and if you've got any issues, you know, there's always help out there somewhere,
yeah.
You know, to be able to. And you've talked about vape, you bring it up about vaping. That's something that we'll discuss later in our work programme, because that's something I'm very conscious about. And it's something, I've got a load of information to give out to you, but we'll talk about that later on. So is there anything else that...
Yeah, wanted to... cyclists in the town centre are an issue, particularly with these electric powered ones. Are you on top of that?
We have done a lot of work this year and issued a lot of PSPO fines to people cycling through the town centre. It's something that certainly we're looking at as part of the refreshing of the PSPO, and, you know, working with the council around trying to improve the signage. There's a lot of work that's going on there so that people have got a greater understanding of what is permitted and what isn't permitted. But do I think we will ever stop people cycling through the town centre completely? You know, with the nature of the town and the way people operate, we may not. But it is something that, you know, we appreciate the concerns that it raises. You know, we appreciate... it was obviously linked to the concerns that were raised earlier last year and some of the publicity that we had, and we have done a lot of work to tackle it, and we will continue to try and do so.
They are a problem though, these powered electric bikes. They are dangerous.
I think the other thing regarding bikes as well is the number of young people, and I say young people, that's riding around at night with no lights, absolutely blacked out, you can't see them, you know, when you drive around a corner and they're there, you know, and one of these days one of them is going to get really injured, but it'll be the motorist that'll be at fault.
I mean, all I would say is it's not the e-bikes that are at fault, it's the people that use them.
Yeah.
That is the reality. You know, one of the things we obviously try and we're obviously tackling the people, you know. Electric bikes can be used very safely.
Not in the town centre.
In inappropriate locations. It's the misuse of things, no difference to it, is the misuse of cars, etc. Yeah.
Well, in Wales, you do 20 mile an hour and you're overtaken by a bike.
Can I say, I think we've really pushed the boat out tonight, asking you questions and that. And we really, from the committee, really appreciate the work that you do, both of you actually, and trying to keep our town and everybody safe. So thank you very, very much, and please pass our compliments and our thanks on to your police force as well in the town, you know. It's not easy, and being a police officer is not an easy life, is it, at the moment? You know, you're getting a lot of flack, shall we say, for want of a better word. But thank you very, very much, and we'll carry on now to the next item, but you're quite welcome to stay, Giles, if you like.
Thank you.
I think you're going to disappear.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Right, we'll move on to item 7B now, which is recycling presentation by our own Lee Boo. And Becky's not here, it's just Lee, is it? Yeah?
Just me.
Oh, right, okay. Thank you. Thank you for giving your time in the evening.
Yeah, hi everyone. For those of you who don't know me, it's happened again. I'm not going to stand here doing that anymore.
Technology.
Am I going to jinx it if I start talking? We'll get with that, shall we? Evening everyone, Lee Booth, Interim Neighbourhood Services Group Manager. I'm here to talk rubbish. So
no, you don't do that at all.
For a number of years now there's been a national resource and waste strategy that's been out and talked about previously as well. And there's been a consultation since it was released in 2018. And we are now getting to the stage where we are starting to see some outcomes from that, and what that means is we will start to see some changes for our residents in Stafford Borough to how we collect curbside waste, and we'll see some changes nationally as well to some of the messaging and the way that we use and treat waste right across the country. So, as I just said, it was launched in 2018. And the consultations weren't quite expected to take as long as they did. There were a number of delays. We did have COVID in that period of time as well, and quite a few changes of Prime Minister as well, which no doubt delayed somewhat. The overarching vision for this strategy really is to try to change the mindset from waste to being a resource. So we're not seeing it as waste, we're seeing it as a resource. So in Stafford, and indeed in Staffordshire, we don't send waste to landfill. So we do try to use waste as a resource in Stafford Borough. For those of you that went on the fairly recent visits to Four Ashes, you would have seen that with the facilities there, where, for example, our residual waste is turned into energy. Now, of course, there are still collection authorities across and disposal authorities across the country that do still use landfill. So this strategy, amongst other things, is hoping to get us to a position where we are using waste as a resource. And we're certainly not perfect in Stafford, but as an example, some of the ways that we use waste as a resource in Stafford. There was some media attention around the consultation when it came out, and some headlines about everyone needing 7 different bins and 7 different containers in their homes. That was actually never a reality. There were talks around different waste streams and the fact that they could be recycled. And the big key message was really about consistency and the fact that so many different authorities collect in so many different ways and collect so many different materials. So another key thing to come out of this strategy was around the consistent collection methods across the country. It was never actually a proposal for every single resident to have 7 different bins, but the Prime Minister did make a statement to say that has been scrapped, and the terminology now is around simpler recycling, which you may have heard some media attention about as well. And this is now where we start to see impacts in the borough. So the key outcomes, which we'll see, I must put a caveat on this, these are the dates that are out there now, and these are the dates that we are working towards. However, there's always the possibility that these dates could be moved. But we don't know that. We're on the working assumption that these are the dates that we will need to make these changes. So the big one, really, which will probably get our residents' attention the most, is separate weekly food waste collections from April 2026. So for some authorities across the country, they already do this, and some of the changes to come out of this strategy won't make a massive difference. However, for us in Stafford, of course, we don't collect food waste separately, and there's actually only one other authority that do in Staffordshire, that's Newcastle-under-Lyme. Staffordshire Moorland is slightly different. They collect food waste inside their garden waste, but for all of us, it's very similar collection methods to us here in Stafford Borough. The theory behind this is that we can improve our recycling rates and again use food waste as a resource, because at the minute it will either go to landfill or to the energy recovery facility that I mentioned earlier, many of you visited, where it's converted to energy. So food waste across the UK accounts for about 30% of waste collected. So as you can see, that's quite a huge chunk really of our waste that as I say, in some areas goes to landfill and in other areas converted to energy. I must state that just because we have 30% food waste when this comes in doesn't necessarily mean the whole amount of that 30% will be recycled and will have an impact on our recycling rate. What we found has happened in other areas, when people start to actually see how much food waste they're throwing away, they start to think a little bit differently about their behaviours, how they shop and how they might use their food a bit better, mm-hmm. because it's quite a visual thing to see all the food that you do throw away when it's in a separate container in your kitchen and outside as well. Now, one of the issues with food waste as well is that it releases harmful gases into the environment when it is in landfill. So the recycling methods that are used cap those release gases, convert it into biofuel and also to fertiliser. And so another benefit, as well as improving our recycling rate, using waste as a resource, is to reduce those harmful emissions into the climate as well. We will be expected as well to collect films from 2027. So your kind of food packaging, you know, fruit, things like that, where to, you know, plasticky film, which will be a service change for us. At the moment, we don't recycle that material. With regard to residual waste, there was a statement in the strategy that came out said collections must take place at least every 2 weeks, which is what we do in Stafford Borough. However, there's been a bit of a pushback on that from a number of authorities. There are some authorities that collect 3 weekly and even 4 weekly for residual waste. The vast majority of data from those authorities show that recycling rates have improved when they've reduced the frequency. So there's a little bit of a pushback, and there's going to be some further consultation on frequency of residual collection. But at the moment, again, our working assumption is it will be at least fortnightly that we carry out those residual waste
That's
collections. Not so relevant to us in terms of our waste operations staff at Borough, but non-domestic properties to receive the same service slightly earlier by next year, April next year. We don't offer a trade waste service in our contractual arrangement with Veolia, but it's there for your reference that this will be in place for non-domestic properties by 2025. Now, as a partnership across the county, we're part of a Staffordshire Waste Partnership with all the other waste collection authorities and also county-wide waste disposal authority. And we are now starting to look at how we can work together to try to put some of these changes into place. And also, locally at Stafford Borough, we've started the conversations with Veolia already on how we can make sure these changes are as smooth as possible. And I think the key thing where we would really ask for your help, and we'll try to engage you as much as we can, is around the communications about that. Residents, I think, might be a little bit confused if we don't get that right. You know, some of this is going back on what we said a number of years ago about not recycling films, and we've got Tetra Pak as well, which we took out of the recycling stream a few years ago. So really key for us is making sure we get the communications right on this, so our residents understand what can now be recycled, and really, I would argue more importantly, why as well, so they buy into that and we launch it as smoothly as possible. What we are likely to see, without getting too technical about it all, is that county will take the lead on the disposal, the management of disposal of food waste. So, As a borough council, we are the waste collection authority, and county are the disposal authority. The arrangements in the past for certain waste streams has been that has been delegated, for want of a better word, down to the collection authority. So, for example, our garden waste processing and disposal, we managed that up until last month. On behalf of county, but county have now taken that back, and they do have power of direction legally on that as well, and they took that back recently, so they managed that process of disposing garden waste, and we think that county are going to take the same stance for the disposal of food waste right across the county. They do have some facilities already that they work with for food waste, so the work over the next months we'll be looking at the capacity of those facilities and where the best places will be for different collection authorities to go and tip off that waste. In terms of funding for this, as you can imagine, it's there will be a cost implication for this, and government have committed to new burdens funding so we can implement these changes. We have had confirmed amounts for capital funding, and we're awaiting some information on the revenue funding as well. So the capital funding will be used for things like vehicles, bin containers, liners, things like that, and the revenue funding will be the ongoing costs of those operations. However, as I say, those amounts are still to be confirmed. And the others I think I've covered there. So two other main elements really, as well as simpler recycling, that have come out of the strategy is something called extended producer responsibility, or EPR, and the deposit return scheme, DRS. I really can't tell you a great deal on this because there isn't a great deal that we've been told yet, other than the theory and the idea behind these proposals. So EPR will make producers responsible for the full net cost of managing the packaging they place in the market. the theory behind this is hoping that producers will think carefully about how they package their products. We hear, you know, a lot of people saying about deliveries that they get from certain large producers that, you know, five times as much cardboard as you need, loads of bubble wrap, all these sort of things will make producers think a little bit more smartly about how they produce that packaging. There's still a lot of conversations going on about this because, of course, there's potentially a cost implication there for producers as well. And that will change as well, the way that we receive our funding as well as a local authority. It'll be channeled via this EPR model if this does go ahead. And DRS is kind of your old fashioned bottle return scheme, really, where you get your 5p or 10p back for your glass bottle or plastic container, all these things. Again, there have been some pilot schemes in Wales and Scotland, which have raised quite a few questions. So this, again, no date, no further detail. When you actually start to look at it, it's quite a complex thing to manage. The pilot schemes that have done this have tried to use barcode scanners so that people can return and get the money back on an online account, but it opens to fraud potential. Then people just go around the shop taking pictures of barcodes and saying they're returning. It's not to say it won't happen, but there's a series of complexities that need to be talked through before deposit return schemes come into place. Where we have seen it work a little bit better is more in places like supermarkets, where people will go with a big crate of whatever they want to return and pop it all in. Then you may hear it referred to as a reverse vending machine. That's some of the language that's being used as well, where you actually put in stuff back into the machine. So that's
the kids sort of
what we've got coming. I thought I'd take this opportunity just to update you where we are at the moment with some of our waste and recycling schemes within Stafford Borough. So you'll be aware that the fourth year of Charge of the Garden Waste was launched at the end of December with sign-ups. Collections beginning from January this year. We show very similar trends to previous years. So sign-ups continue as per the previous 3 years. We've had a change in our internal CRM system to a system called GOS, which has gone very well, very smoothly. Sometimes there's a bit of a fear with these new systems that we may face a number of teething issues. Again, it certainly wasn't perfect, but it went very well, and as I say, figures very similar to previous years. I just wanted to highlight the point here that we are actually already starting to see tonnages of waste reduce, and producers using lighter and less packaging, which is a real positive, because the first principle of waste management is reduction. The first principle is reduction. So if we can reduce our waste first, then that's when we're onto a good thing. I know this isn't very clear, but the idea is to reflect my last statement on the previous slide about tonnages and packaging reducing, and what that has led to is this trend in recycling rates. So the top two here, Morelands and Newcastle, who, as I mentioned earlier, do take the food waste separately. Nearly finished as well. So their recycling rates are slightly higher than the rest of the county. And I was about to point out that Stafford Borough is actually second when you look at everyone else. So we're just about that one, that blue one there. And when it comes to recycling rates, although we have seen a slight decrease over recent years, we are still performing well when we look at county data as well. And again, these slides will go out so you can see this in more detail, but just to give the picture, I know you can't see it in great detail, but that's the picture across the country as well. So these sort of turquoisey colours, you're decreasing 1 to 5% percent, and that's where we are at Stafford Borough, and the majority of the county, I think it's all the county actually, you can see right across the country, it's very, very similar. There are some that have gone up slightly, some that have gone down a little bit more than us. So it's just to reference the point that we are kind of following national trend when it comes to our recycling rates across the borough. And of course, for some of these, you know, we don't know where they were beforehand, so some might have been in a really good place beforehand, some might have been in quite a bad place, and that can obviously skew where they are. But I think it gives an overall picture that we're about on par with the rest of the country. So that was it. Happy to take questions.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Louise, for that. That was very interesting, you know.
Sorry. I have a question.
Thank you, Councillor Jones.
I was going to interrupt.
Right. I'll start with you, then.
Thank you very much. First question of the year. You mentioned earlier on, which I found fascinating, how the county's taking over certain aspects of waste management. And I thought, was that a good thing for us? Does it cost us money? Are we going to lose money or gain money or nothing? Or... what does it mean to Stafford Borough Council, I suppose, is the question.
Well, it depends on your point of view, I guess. It removes an admin role for us, so it makes our operations a little bit more efficient. We were kind of in the middle before because we would report tonnages into county, we would manage the paperwork, get the weighbridge information, all that stuff, and pass to county, whereas now that's just a direct transaction. So... Becky, Martin and my team, the main, have dealt with a lot of that, so it relieves sort of Becky's workload. However, what it does mean is that our, in return for us doing that, for example, for the garden waste, we receive garden waste credits from county as kind of and we made a surplus on that. So we made a little bit extra on our garden waste credits, which means that financially we were slightly better off to be managing that. However, what we've seen over the past 4 or 5 years, that's reduced significantly. We're getting very much to the point where the credits were actually only just covering the gate fee. So the credits will cover the gate fee of per tonne of what we drop off at the, it's at a farm locally where we drop off the garden waste. Credits will just cover the gate fee and a little bit more, but that has seen a significant drop over recent years, but it's coming down to more or less the same. So really, when you weigh it all up, my argument would be it's better to go to county because they're legally have power of direction. Financially, we weren't going to see the benefit for much longer. And ultimately, it will be. In a couple of years, credits will go anyway. Race credit will go with this new funding model with EPR. But
your department will have less admin to do. So.
Yeah, there'll be less admin for that, certainly. And also, I must say, county have worked in partnership with us on this. They've worked really well with county. It wasn't anything that was done to us, if you like, or without us having a say. We've got a really strong relationship with county, and that was evident throughout this recent change in
garden
waste.
Thank you, Chairman.
Anybody else got any questions for Lee? Wow. I've got one question. It's something a lady asked me the other day. Do we have certain roads in Stafford that don't pay for the brown bins? I think I know the answer. Oh. But
shouldn't we? If there's any concerns, let me know and I can look into it, but no.
Yeah, thank you for that. Nobody got any questions? Everybody? Yes, yeah. Councillor.
You mentioned about manufacturers. They do a lot of unnecessary packaging, don't they? Is that something that's going to really take off and you're going to work with them and they will hopefully reduce waste that way?
Yeah, well, as I say, we don't offer trade waste service ourselves, but we recognise the importance of trying to work with businesses to try to reduce waste in that way. So it is something we're mindful of, we'd like to do a little bit more work on. However, we do also have this in the back of our mind that EPR, Extended Producer Responsibility, will hopefully be coming on board at some stage. And as I said earlier, I think government and DEFRA's view on that is by giving the responsibility to the producer and financial implication there as well, that will kind of market forces will take them down the road where that packaging will become much more appropriate, much more fit for purpose.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, we've got food waste on the when we do our work programme. So we'll come to that later. Can I say first, I think I speak on behalf of every councillor around this table, that we don't get many complaints about the collection of waste. Yeah. I think we're really pleased the way things operate and the way it's going. And Veolia, I think, are doing a really good job. So, and I think this is why it speaks for itself, and we've got no questions really to ask. So thank you for the good work you do, and pass our thanks down to the team as well. So, and thank you for giving your time, Lee, tonight to come and give the presentation. Very, very much appreciated.
It wasn't all a load of rubbish, was it?
Pardon?
It wasn't all a load of rubbish
either.
I like that.
Oh,
very well.
Well. Thank you very much. You're welcome to stay, Lee, if you like, or you can disappear.
Thank you.
Right, thank you very much. Okay, so now we're going to the item 7C, which is the performance updates. So I'm going to take these page by page, so please stop me when I start shouting the numbers out. You all got your... Yeah? On page 5. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm on page 5. Anybody got any questions on page 5?
Just
That's the overall talking thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just sorry. On page 5. Yeah, we're 3 months behind schedule on some things. It just seems an awful lot of time to be behind.
That was my question.
Were you asking me?
Who's answering the questions on this, please? Is it you? Gabrielle, are you answering the questions?
Does Judith normally present this? No.
This is why 3 months ago, because the person who's doing it doesn't know.
I'm happy to answer any questions on anything I know something about.
All right, thank you. Would you like to come to the table, or do you want to stay there?
No, I'm happy to come to the table.
Thank you.
And if there are things that we don't know about, then obviously we can find out.
Okay, thank you very much.
I was just saying, it's nice to know that we're trying to keep level, and we find we're 3 months behind or something.
I think this is the first meeting that I've had. I don't know whether the council's around the table. I think this is the first time we've probably met you.
Yes,
you know,
yeah, it will be, I think.
So welcome on board, and I hope you have a happy relationship with us.
So, Chairman, I was just the reason I've turned the page over now.
No,
I just said that was the reason I wanted to raise it. Was the item that was 3 months behind was 2333.
We're on page 6. Okay. Any questions?
On page which?
6. It's at the bottom of the page.
Yes, I've got one question, if I may. Oh,
it's not the same as me, is it?
I don't know.
You two guys sort yourself out.
Oh, yes. I won't sit next to him.
On the community support undertaking litter picks.
Yeah.
All right, my question is in actual fact that, as I understand it, there is an obligation of litter to be picked up by the council. Now that obligation, in actual fact, in my ward, in Camp Road, is not being done at all.
Don't talk to me. Talk to me. It's your fault.
I think hopefully Liz is coming to help us.
Yeah.
So the question is, in actual fact, so that why is it not being done? In the Milford ward itself, the parish does organise its own litter picking as such, to a large degree, although there's an obligation of the borough in terms of the roading roads. Camp Road, which goes from the A34 through to
Pottlepool, is it?
Sorry.
It's on the Hensford Road.
Yeah,
Hensford
Road.
It goes to the
up to the way the
Marquis Drive,
cemetery is.
Yeah.
The German cemetery. From that road down, from the German cemetery down to the A34, is continually full of rubbish.
It's a mess.
Now, fortunately, there is not a walkway on either side of the road, and it's fairly narrow.
Yeah.
And the cars go down there at a tremendous speed. I must admit, rather silly. But all the times we've been asked for the council to actually do it, because that's some, that one road the parish won't do because it means putting them on the on in danger, if you like to do it. So they're asking in actual fact that the county to step in and say and do it. But at the moment it's not being done at all. So where can we progress from there?
So with the Borough Council's responsibility for land that we've adopted or that we have responsibility for, yes, we do need to keep those clean and tidy. There are a number of areas which don't fall under our responsibility. Sounds like that probably would, so I'll need to look into that. So if you wouldn't mind just sending me an email.
I'll send you the details by all means.
Yeah. And we will. In relation to the community groups doing that litter picking, they are a massive help to us as a street scene service. We only have a certain amount of resource, of course, to get out there and litter pick. And it'd be nice if residents, not to say residents, it'd be nice if people didn't leave the litter on the floor in the first place. That will never end, unfortunately. So we do as much as we can. However, there's only so many people, and sometimes areas may well get missed. But if you could send that email to me, those details, we'll make sure either A, we'll find out who is responsible for that area, or B, we'll go out and get it tidy ourselves.
Right, that's lovely. Thank you very much.
Right, I'm on to page 7 now. Anybody got any questions on page 7?
Yes.
Pass the rules.
Talking about the warm spaces, so it was very, very pleased to see the success of the 15 warm space venue. I was just wondering, is there a grant scheme available for new venues to open up, or and how will the council continue to support the existing venues during the next like season and in, like autumn kind of time?
Oh, there's a game, isn't
it? Okay, so we've allocated funding to community groups that will last until the end of March this financial year. We're currently reviewing all of the warm spaces to see how successful they are, to understand the volume of people too. We're looking then at any funding we've got remaining and whether we can roll it out again next autumn, but it's something we're currently evaluating and looking at for going forwards.
Okay. So we've
got that page. Magic, can I have a question on page 8?
Yes,
sure,
right.
Page 8. Yeah, but this is 233 where we're talking about providing a safe place for residents to live and work by enabling all food and drink businesses to be compliant with environmental regulator. And we're 3 months behind, you know. So we're not providing a safe place for residents to live and work. It was just a concern that it was where it was, and it was some that's been. By the end of quarter three of the service, had only delivered about a third of the annual food safety programme. I mean, that sounds like an awful lot to me. But
Has anybody got an answer to that?
Yeah, actually, this is my service area.
Oh, right.
I'm exactly the right person to answer, hopefully. So, obviously, as you can see, there was an issue here.
Yes.
In January, probably end of December, before I arrived, we looked at getting more resources in. There's now more resources. And so I'm pleased to tell you that at this point, as of today, 74% of programme inspections have been done now. So it's been a massive improvement by the team, I'm really pleased to say and share with you. By the end of next week, 80% of all programmed inspections will be done, and 70% of new business registrations have been completed. So there's been a big shift in where we are. Right. And moving forward, I don't expect this to be an issue. You know, we will have some more resource, and I will ensure that the teams are on top of it.
Thank you. I'm glad we found out how you were doing.
Sorry, just whilst we're on that, what was the actual initial issue? Was it staffing or...?
So obviously, I arrived in January. They'd recognised there was an issue. There has been some issues around staffing, resilience in the team. I think there's been a number of people off sick, obviously, and we're supporting those people back to getting on with their jobs where they can. Also, we've brought in some, as I say, some additional resource to support the team and do this work. We have had, I think the team leader actually left, so probably the person that was overseeing it was no longer here, and obviously you had an interim head of service. For me now, this will be a priority to ensure moving forward we're hitting the targets we need to. It's important work.
Does that answer your question, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, lovely.
Councillor Leeson?
Yeah, in a previous, in the audit accounts, audit committee, some of the reports on the food inspections couldn't be found.
Right,
okay. Has that now been resolved? Or?
So obviously where we have an audit report,
yes.
we have, as you'll know better than me, I'm sure, an opportunity to respond to that. There have been issues within some of the teams. I guess that's why it's useful to have a new permanent head of service that can resolve some of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to, and obviously the shared service piece of work we're doing now will improve the resilience. That's what I'm hoping and we'll have. Well, I'm not hoping, that's what will happen. And then obviously we will have a permanent service manager in place that oversees all of this area of work.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else got any questions on page 8? No? Okay, let's go
on
to page 9.
Sorry.
Yes, come
on. I was just wondering about the report that's been sent to DEFRA. I was just wondering, is there a way we can actually view this report just to see a bit more of the detail of it all? And also, I was just wondering, who actually owns the land around the town centre? Is it the Borough Council? Because I was just wondering if we could install some like no idling signs, especially in the like more pedestrianised areas, because quite often you'll drive past and there'll be a van sitting there for 20 minutes, engine idling, and obviously there's a lot of pedestrians and prams and everything walking past. So I was just wondering if there's anything more we can do on that kind of issue.
And certainly you're absolutely right, because that has a massive impact on air quality, doesn't it? Let me find out and come back to you on that. The report, I would have thought, is if it's something that's published in the public domain, I'm sure there won't be an issue.
I did try and look it up, but I couldn't find it anywhere, so it might have
just
been there.
Yeah, let me find out for you, and I'm sure if I can share it, I'm sure
yes,
I probably can
do.
Share it
yeah.
with you
yeah.
guys. I'll forward it to Jackie to forward to you.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you very much. Anybody else got any question, page 8? No? Page 9? Councillor Nixon.
2 points on 2.4.2. Firstly, we've agreed that we're going to review the safeguarding policy. And secondly, do you remember we had some training about lone worker training for councillors? I'm just thinking there's a lot of new councillors now. Perhaps we need to have that training up there. Do you remember?
I can't honestly.
Yeah,
I'm honest with you. I can't.
Anybody
else?
It said that there was going to be an update. I've still got the copy of it. It said we were going to have an update in about 18 months, and the update didn't happen. But now there's a lot of new councillors as well. It was about when you're working as a councillor and going out places on your own, how to keep aware of your own personal safety. Do you remember that?
I remember when we were talking about canvassing. In fact, they weren't about. You knock a door and you don't know what's behind the door. So if you're
well,
on your
it,
own,
it was about surgeries and
all sorts of things.
Something we could probably look at if you feel that it's necessary. I mean, what's people's thoughts on it? You know, do you feel that you need some sort of?
I think we had an outside consultant come in and do the course. I seem to remember.
Mm. Yeah. I remember seeing an email about something like that, but it's. Disappeared, so I definitely think it'd be worth something pursuing.
Probably I'll have a discussion with the officers and see where we go with that one. Yeah, okay. Page 9. Yeah, we've done page 9. Page 10? Yes, Councillor Rose.
I'm not sure if it necessarily is antisocial behaviour, but when we're talking about the town centre and we're on about like. People cycling through dangerously and that kind of thing. How are the fines or charges processed, and how do we communicate with the police more in this matter? I know I should have raised it more earlier, but it's only just kind of jogged my memory now.
Can I ask
Vic
to respond to that
one?
Sorry.
So you don't want to move around, you're all right.
If you're comfy where you are, you're safe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement, isn't there? So within the Borough Council, we've got enforcement officers as well. But we do generally do joint patrols with police. Fines are issued either by ourselves or the police. We've both got the same books. But they do come back into the Borough Council and we track payment or non-payment of the fines. We can also issue community protection warning notices as well to cyclists.
Okay, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So page 11.
I wanted to ask you, Anna. You said that you'd put six people into a house, I'm just wondering, and people have said all evening really that there's been a big reduction in visible homeless on the streets and rough sleepers. How many are there now?
Okay, we monitor this on a weekly basis, so that we always have the most up-to-date information. It does fluctuate on
weekly.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you this week, but it is. It's we've got the annual rough sleeper estimate that we also do as well, and I believe that's about to be published if it hasn't already, but I will find it out for you and let you know.
Okay.
But we monitor it constantly.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, it states on the page down the bottom there that the accommodation to be run by Turning Point for rough sleepers is close to being opened. How close is close?
Okay, thank you. So this is the report from the end of Q3. The accommodation is now open, and we have been gradually moving people in. We didn't want to move 6 people in all at once because it obviously takes mm-hmm. time to settle people, get them established and settled in that accommodation. So I understand that we now have 4 people in the accommodation, and we'll shortly be opening the last 2 bed spaces up as well. So it is operational now.
Okay,
can I
thank
just
you.
Ask where,
yeah.
where it is?
I'd rather not say, if that's
okay.
Okay. It is something we've obviously got to protect the
usually
privacy
yes,
of
yeah.
the residents who
yeah,
live
yeah.
there as well, and manage any issues within the community. At the
yep.
moment, there's been
that's
absolutely
right.
no community issues whatsoever.
Oh, good.
People don't know it's there, which I think is the way that we want
yeah.
to
yeah.
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 Totally agree with you.
Right, I'm on to page 12 now. Yes, Councillor Rose.
So this is a bit of a general question, and basically, obviously, we thought 2.5.2, talking about ensuring good housing standards delivered by the private sector. So the Marsh and Grange estate is still absolutely shocking condition. The pavements and the roads are incomplete. There's no bins around the estate, no buses or anything like that. I know obviously some of that's County Council. But there's also like issues where there's a footpath that just leads to a wooden fence, and then there's nothing on the other side of the wooden fence. So it's led to residents of the two estates basically jumping over the fence. Now there's litter all over the fence because people basically walk up to the fence, throw the litter down, jump the fence, and now the fence is broken. Loads of issues like that. But Taylor Wimpey very rarely reply to me, and when they do, they don't give a very like a detailed plan. They'll, oh yes, it's we're going to be doing this at some point soon. Well, it's like, well, yes, but you've been saying that for almost a year now and no progress has actually been made. So obviously we're the planning authority, but I'm struggling to get developers to actually reply to me as a borough councillor. So I was just wondering, how can I progress this essentially? So it's a very open question, but...
Okay.
Do you want to... go on, Anna.
It doesn't fall within my responsibility, but I will speak to the people who will be responsible for this and see if they can get back to you on that.
That'd be lovely, thank you.
Yeah.
Can I just then come in and say, you know, I mean, you talked about planning and... I don't know whether you have any discussions with planning, Anna, and about, and I'm thinking now about moving forward and where we are with the towns with the new local plan. And my question really is, you know, we're talking about good housing and standards and Stafford Gateway. Have you had any input, or will you have any input with the people that's going to be building on there, you know, the housing and what have you? And I'm talking about building small bungalows and that for people with disabilities, you know, because we don't have where they can get wide doors, you know, a door being much wider so they can get in and they can live on their own even though they're in a wheelchair. I know there's one or two down on Moss Pit area, and I've actually visited, and I was quite amazed actually to see that we've got a bungalow where a lady living on her own in a wheelchair, but she was managing because that bungalow was built to her needs and what have you. So I'm just wondering about that. And also, if you look on Corporation Street, we've got some very small bungalows. You know, and these are people for the homes for the elderly. So I'm coming here because it's community and well-being, really. But I'm asking you: do you have talks about the local plan and about building these sort of homes on these new developments? Because I think it's essential.
Okay. Okay, probably two elements to my response there. First of all, yes, I worked very closely with the local plan team to feed in around the housing offer, the housing need, and what the evidence is showing that we need. So I am working very, very closely with Alex and the team about shaping the new local plan. You mentioned Station Gateway, and that is actually an area where we have a current funded project that we're looking at. So we're doing a health impact assessment of that area to try and ensure that what we can do from the very, very start is build in positive health outcomes to the work that we're doing there. So we're working with local communities and with the on the master planning area to ensure that actually what we want to see is as good a possible health outcomes as we can and to minimise any negative ones. So areas that you've mentioned there around wider doorways, adaptive properties, is something that we'd absolutely be discussing to see how we can manage to work that into the plans.
Good.
But recognising as well that we do need to make the scheme viable. This is where the challenge always comes through, is about that balance. But given that we are looking at a wider regeneration of that area, we've got more influence to be able to do that. And the work we're doing on the health impact is something that will hopefully bring those recommendations out that you've just said.
Oh, that's absolutely, that's really good news, actually, because, we build these big new houses, you look at Beaconside, you look at Burleyfields, and none of them have got any facilities for our needy people, shall I put it that way? So I'm really pleased to hear that. So I'd like some feedback on that when you possibly can. Anybody else on page 12? No? Yeah. Quite happy? Yeah. Good. Page 13? Page 14, yes, Councillor Nixon.
On L17 and L18, I'm wondering, do we have any information about the impact that's having on A&E, please? Because there is a link.
We've obviously discussed these statistics before, and what it is showing is almost the national trends around homelessness at the moment, and we've suggested going forward that actually we just monitor the figures as opposed to have crosses next to it. But clearly there are links between homelessness, poor health, and what we're looking at in our service, and something that I've brought to this committee before, is the level of people who are presented to the service with complex needs, and that does involve physical health needs and mental health needs as well. And of course we work in a partnership way, so if we have people who are approaching who have got immediate health needs, we will refer them to the right services.
Does that answer your question?
Sorry? May I respond to that?
Yeah.
I think it might be, how can I put it, helpful to create an extra box somewhere just to monitor how many times these people are visiting A&E and what the impact it is having on A&E.
Through you, Chair. I think we collect significant amounts of data already that are nationally prescribed by government. I don't want to be asking housing options officers to collect more historical data about A&E presentations from people who are coming through the door that may not necessarily be relevant to the case we're dealing with and more relevant potentially to other partners. We do know that obviously, people who have experience of homelessness often do have poor health as well. But what we also need to look at is, that is at the acute end. We have lots of families coming through the homelessness service who have been served with Section 21s. We have people who whose properties have been sold that they need to move on for. So I think we deal with a significant range of cases coming through the service, and we do absolutely refer to the appropriate partner agencies to ensure they get all the support, help and guidance that they need to. As part of our duties under the Homeless Reduction Act, we have to do a personal plan for each person to address those support needs. Mm-hmm. So if that does involve engagement with A&E departments, we absolutely will be doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, can I ask you a question? Is there a more appropriate place to collect that data then? Because I know there has been, I want to choose my words carefully, but I think you know what I mean.
Let's have a discussion about it out of the committee.
Excuse
and then we'll talk about
Excuse
that.
Excuse me now.
Sorry.
I would think that A&E would collect that data.
Yeah. Mm. Just out of interest, do you know that, wherever in it, that I'm talking nationwide now, 124.5 million A&E appointments were missed, which has cost billions to the NHS. So I'm just telling you that out of interest, because you mentioned A&E. But it just shows, really, you know, because if you're missing your appointments
you
and what have you.
Yeah,
yeah, but
don't make an appointment.
Yeah, you have follow-up appointments.
Follow-up appointments, yeah.
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 You might need
yeah.
to go
right,
back to have something looked at. Yeah.
Just telling you that out of interest, actually. But let's have a discussion about that out of the meeting.
Yeah.
Right, where are we? On page, any more on page, is it 14?
Yeah.
Yeah. Page 15? Page 16?
Oh, page 16.
I'm just turning over to realise. You
finished.
Yeah. So, thank you very much, Anna, and thank you very much, Gabriel, for your help this evening. Very much appreciated. Thank you. So now we're down to the work programme, which is... right. Has anybody got any comments about how they'd like to move forward on the work programme? I've got quite a few things written down, but I don't want to voice my opinions until anybody else has. Do you think there's anything on there that you feel should be there and is not there, and we should be discussing and not discussing? And
I was wondering, I mean, it may not be appropriate, but I think it's a pretty awful
go
thing
on,
that's happening.
Yeah, go on.
And it's these private car parks and the big fines that they give to local people. You know, at say Madford, where Wickes is, people, if they go beyond 2 hours, and sometimes there's quite big shops there, aren't there? Sometimes they might be like in Wickes and then across to the pet place they're into, and they get it's a private car park and it's been given to an agency. I don't know, there's some sort of negotiation must go on, and then people get these big fines, and I've seen a lot of people complaining about it around in the town.
Is this the right committee to bring
in? I don't know.
I
think it does affect people to get a big fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably something we can, look at. And Gabrielle, have you got an answer to that?
Yeah, sadly not for us, really.
Okay.
Car parking fines in that respect would be dealt with by trading standards, so I think it would be a county matter.
I'm just a bit concerned when you said that. I thought that's not really for this committee, so it might be something that you might be able to get in touch with your county council or whoever. Okay. Right, okay. Anything else anybody wants to talk about on the work programme? All right, let's talk. Yes, councillor.
Just like a general one, I'd like to know more about what's going on, especially from like the street scene department, about what's going on in the town centre to help like biodiversity and reduce emissions or improve air quality by like planting trees or wildflowers or that kind of thing, which obviously has a lot to do with bringing people into the town centre and, you know, creating a business friendly approach.
Mm-hmm. We can write that down and have a look at it, Jackie, can't we? You know, and have you? Do you do any checking of outside schools with your air quality? I'm asking you a question, really, now. Do you have a piece of equipment from the borough that you can look at air quality outside your schools?
No, I don't.
That's quite interesting. That's something else, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd
like to know more.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you for that. And it's something that... I can't remember the officer's name, actually, that deals with it. So, Lee, can you help me on that?
Probably Sean Baker, I think.
That's it. That's the name I'm thinking of. If you have a word with Sean and see see if he can help you with that, and you might be able to check, you know, looking at your air quality outside schools. Because I understand the air quality in Stafford is quite good.
Mm.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, I've
it
got
could always be better. I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I thought I'd say
naturally. So, right. I've got down about illegal vaping. You know. And we need to discuss that, so that's one thing that we need on our work programme somewhere, Jackie.
I think we discussed it was going to be a report in September. I think
was it September that we talked about it?
So what I was suggesting is that we have, four projects at the moment running to reduce health inequalities, one of which is around vaping, and it was whether the committee would be interested in an overview of each of those four projects, because they will be completing around September time of what they actually included. One was vaping, and the others were linked to other things relating to health inequalities.
Right, okay.
Can you tell us what they are?
I'm going to say what.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
She answered that, as you wasn't sure.
So one of them was the Station Gateway project, the health inequalities assessment.
Brilliant.
The other is looking at trauma-informed approaches in schools linked to the Right Stuff Boxing. And the final one is a proactive housing repairs service, which is linked to both private sector housing and the Disabled Facilities Grant process, whereby we do small, minor interventions to reduce health inequalities and do things like prevent slips, trips and falls, make hospital discharge easier and things like that.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So we've got that down. Yeah, I mean the amount of state trading standards have done a lot of work on this vaping, and the amount of stuff that they've picked up is just absolutely unbelievable. 13.1.7 disposable vapes, £90,000 of illegal cigarettes, 20k of hand rolled tobacco, valued at £245,000. This is Trading Standards that's done this. And if anybody wants the Trading Standards confidential helpline, if you want to write this down, everyone, 01785 330356. And I'm telling you all that because it involved two shops in Stafford and two shops in Scone.
Can you say it again?
You said
double three what?
Am I talking too quickly?
You will
gobble a bit, don't I? Yeah. 01785 330356, and that's the Trading Standards confidential line. In other words, if you see anything going off on that you want to
report,
okay. And I'm telling you all that, as I said, because it's involved a couple of shops in Stafford.
Would it be possible to visit?
Sorry.
Would it be possible to visit the Right Stuff?
Yeah, I think you could go.
The Right Stuff option.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prince Edward did, didn't
he?
Yeah.
So perhaps we could arrange to go as a committee.
Yeah, that'd be.
That was an idea. Good idea.
I think you might win.
More banded.
Sorry?
More banded.
Yeah.
More banded. Can I just mention to you as well? We've talked a lot about. I've still got a few things down here that I want to say, but. We talked about mental health, and it's something I took to the County Council Health and Care Committee, or full council actually, last week. And that was Walton High School have done an app for children, helping children. So talking about mental health, they've done an app where children that's got a problem or they want to talk to somebody on that, they can look at this app and know where to go. So I'll share it with you. I'll give it to Jackie and she can send it out to all of you. Because I'm absolutely blown away with the work that they've done on it. So,
Elaine's in Stone, as part of their young enterprise, have done a book about different anger and managing. Perhaps we can get the information by Jackie and send it.
Brilliant,
and
share it. You know,
Jill,
it's
the booklet. Yeah.
I went to, and bear with me, Jill, on this one, because I went to Walton Community Centre last week to a wellbeing organisation, a wellbeing practitioner. Her name actually is Kate Napper. And she'd organised this big village about well-being and health and what have you. And I'm just thinking that we should have one in Stafford. So I'll speak to Jackie and we can probably get in touch.
As long as it's better organised than the one in Stone.
Oh, well, it was a bit, I think.
Manic.
Yes, it was. And I think a lot of people watched out because it was too busy.
Yeah.
But it was all done through the GPs, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they are organising one for Stafford, aren't they?
I don't know, but this lady organised it, and I've got her details. So
ask her, because I'm sure I went to something at St George's, which is all about the different organisations that provide types of care.
Yeah.
And they said, and the woman that organised it, and I can't remember her name, said that they were going to organise one of these health days.
It'd be good. I mean, we could.
The funny thing was, one of the sponsors was the co-op funeral care.
Very good. Yeah, nice.
Actually, I will not the
health awareness day.
The funeral pair help us a lot with that. Can I just ask you? I mean, it's something that Phil's been on about for a while now, and this is about Andy Man's Club.
Andy's Man Club.
But the idea is that we probably start the meeting, say, 5:30, one of our meetings, and have Chris, who I met at this autumn centre last week, to come along and give us a talk about Andy Man's Club and what they're doing.
Yeah.
So would that be suitable for the committee?
We asked for that, didn't we? It's moving forward now, and you know how these things roll out,
and you've got to take time. Yeah, so that's that. And then, all right, we've talked about food waste tonight. And it's probably we'll have to set a task force. So can you give us any idea of when you think we should do that, Lee?
I'd say the later part of the year.
We get to September time, then we'll start looking at a task and finish group. Okay. Thank you very much for that. I think I've covered everything. We talked about food waste, housing, and again we've talked about that with Anna planning because we had Chris Butcher come along, didn't we? Did we? Dampton and what have you. And we need Les Clark from Housing Plus. Is there anybody else that we think we should be looking at? We keep hammering Housing Plus, but is there anybody else, Anna, that we should be?
I'll give it some thought and get back to you, okay?
Pardon?
I'll give it some thought and get back to you.
Thank you.
There was the disability grants team, wasn't there? The new team. They were going to sort of feedback when they were fully set up.
Is there anything else anybody else wants to say about the work programme? Are you quite happy we've got? I think we've got enough going off, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. With that in mind, then, if nobody else has got anything to say, I'll bring the meeting to a close and say thank you very much for your time and safe journey home. Don't forget, it's a week on Saturday. We put the clocks.
Next weekend. It'll be light in the evenings.
Yeah.